Gondi and Ash Pollard.
6.04 Monday morning around the Central Coast. Nick Kelly in for Gorney again this morning. Hello.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good to see you, mates.
It's great to be here.
We thought that I'd finish my little stint filling in on
we
the
We did, didn't we? And then old mate Gorney just chucks us a sickie last night.
I believe we'll be back tomorrow. That's what I understand so far.
Hope he's all right.
Very wet around the coast this morning.
It's exceptionally wet.
Driving up from Sydney last night from my boyfriend's place was absolutely shocked at how much I was aquaplaning along the road.
Yes. I was about to say that around Matcham.
Nightmare.
Skiddies.com.au.
of one sort, that's for sure. Big show ahead. Lots of people on it. And coming up next, we'll check with everything trending overnight.
101.3 CFM trending now.
I'm sure you've heard about this and seen it on the television, the Opera House and these racing ads. Racing New South Wales has wanted to project a logo, horse names and numbers on the sails of the Opera House as part of a promotion for a $10 million race event called the Everest.
Yeah, which I had never heard of until this whole debacle came up over the weekend.
Yeah, and Prime Minister ScoMo has described the Sydney Opera House as a big billboard and says he's happy to advertise events on the Harbour Bridge as well.
Are you for real?
No, yeah, I'm totes for real. Now, I'm not, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it's a great thing to do, given that the Opera House is an iconic building, exactly, as well as the bridge. I think it's a bit ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I'm okay in vivid, let the colours get projected on. Sure.
Yeah.
That's fine. Let reds and greens and stuff. Not
it's
names
just
of horses.
It's tasteless, isn't it?
It looks ridiculous.
Ugh, gross.
Messy stuff.
CFM trending now.
It is official. Cyber bullies face 5 years jail time under New South Wales new laws. This
wow.
is exceptional. I think this is great because I won't tolerate cyber bullies myself. I don't think anybody should. They destroy people's lives. And I think this is an appropriate punishment for this type of act.
Anyone who knows you knows that you call out cyberbullying when it happens on social media. Like, you will go full hell for leather on these people.
Well,
and deservedly.
There's a lot of people that I don't call out because sometimes I don't want to embarrass people.
Yeah.
But at the very same time, I'm like, well, you know, if you're going to go out of your way to bully me on social media, I may as well go out of my way to call you out on it and show people how much of a poxy human you are.
Poxy human. There was an incident on the coast a couple of weeks ago. I think a 14-year-old girl or something. There was a big fight that happened over a post on social media. Mm. And it's crazy because sometimes the cyberbullying can actually convert into physical violence in real life as well.
And we need to combat this because young children often don't know how to manage the situation.
Yep.
and can really take any sort of bullying to heart. You know about these suicides as well. It's
absolutely
terrible.
No, good stuff.
So, yeah, Lifeline. What's the Lifeline number?
Lifeline's number is 13, 11, and
14.
It's 14.
13, 11, 14.
If you need Lifeline.
Oh, yeah, love me a study.
How good's the study?
Oh, my God, have they done another study?
Oh, nothing better than a study.
It's time for another Gondi and Ash Pollard study.
On what boredom does to your brain.
Interesting.
Nick Kelly, do you get bored often?
So I have always thought I'm not a person that gets bored ever.
Mm.
I always find something to do. I have such a jumpy personality that I can't, like, sit.
Is that called being a schizo or...?
One word you can describe as? No, I just, like, I've always been such a person that makes their own fun happen. And I love time alone. And I love being able to spend time alone doing things and creating things. And, yeah, I never tend to get bored.
Okay,
calm down. And I was getting really excited about not being bored.
Look, my mum always said, bored people... No, when you... What did she say?
Good quote from your mum.
No!
What did she say, mate?
Bored people get... Boring people get bored.
Wow. X.
Boring people get bored. So I was always like, oh, well, I'm not bored. I'm always into stuff and et cetera.
Totally. But do you find you get bored?
And multiple experiments of researching the evolutionary purpose of boredom has actually validated an interesting theory, would you believe it or not?
Mm-hmm.
People who are bored think more creatively than those who aren't.
Wow.
Mm. So
more creatively.
So does boredom fuel imagination, you ask?
I do ask.
Well, actually, it might. It could be a powerful motivator to seek more mental stimulation. So take a child, for instance. Mm-hmm. Given nothing to do, they'll most likely conduct a wacky game or like a fictional sort of story to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
I talk to myself.
Do you?
Yeah, I make up situations in my head.
Like dramatic situations?
Does that actually mean I'm not right in the head or...?
Well, I used to have this terrible habit of if I'd had an awkward encounter or a bad encounter at work that day, I would replay that scenario in my head and replay possible endings to that scenario and endings to that conversation.
Yes, yes.
But that was doing my head in. I was going crazy.
Oh. Well... There's boredom likens itself to a subconscious motivational alarm. So it's right. telling you that you need to do something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you sit down, you read a book or you're watching Netflix, and even though the show might be interesting, you're starting to get bored. And that happens to me.
Yeah.
I'll start looking at my phone.
You tune out.
But I don't never think to get up and do something.
Yeah. I often find myself, like, if I get bored with the TV show and I start going on my phone, I'm always like, okay, Google, go back 2 minutes.
Yeah, so I can actually, well, like, work we need to be more conscious of these things, I think. Jump up and about and get around. Get more creative in your mind.
What was that quote from your mum just one more time?
Oh, damn it.
Let's go. Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
It's up to 6:33 on a Monday morning with Gondi and Ash Pollard and Nick Kelly in for Gondi this morning.
Something that we've been debating about most recently is whether or not you say daylight savings time or daylight saving time.
Because if you missed it, so Sunday morning at 2 a.m.,
yep.
the hour went forward one.
Yes.
I think that's how it works.
That's exactly
yeah,
how it works.
1:59 and then it was 3 o'clock suddenly. But mm-hmm. is it daylight saving or daylight savings?
I want to do a Pollard poll on it. I'm setting 12:16.
For another Pollard poll.
Give us a ring, 13:12:16. Give you some tickets to the movies for your time this morning.
Do you say daylight savings or daylight saving time? I need to know.
Pretty quick question. 13:12:16. Movie tickets for your time. Daylight saving or daylight savings?
Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard, CFM.
Having a bit of a debate.
Oh, it's
morning.
A huge one. It's hard hitting. It is a Pollard poll on whether or not you say daylight savings time or daylight saving.
Ing.
This calls for another Pollard poll.
We have opened it up to callers on 13:12:16 to document this particular poll.
Yes.
Nick, do the honours, would you?
Of what, mate?
Who's on the line?
Mitchell in Wyoming is on
Mitchie.
The line.
Mitchie.
How's it going?
Yeah, look, tell us. Daylight savings or daylight saving?
Definitely going to be daylight savings, 100%.
With an S. All right, that's one for with an S.
All right. Because at the end, let me tell you what I'm doing.
What are you
I'm
doing?
Actually telling you how to say it. Like the correct way. Because, you know, that's what I do.
Brad's in late on Morrow. Morning, Brad.
How are you going?
Great. With an S or without an S for daylight saving?
With an S.
What?
Daylight saving.
All right. Yeah. No, another.
Alyssa, Point Claire.
Yeah, I say daylight savings with an S.
Oh, my God. Okay. Interesting. Jenny is in Bateau Bay.
Jenny, tell us.
With the S, savings.
Oh, wow, everyone's doing with an S.
That is 100%.
This is a hungy.
Is there anyone that says with a G? No.
Producer Gia is telling us that everybody says it's daylight savings time.
I'm going daylight saving with
a G. You? Okay, so that's you. You're one and I'm that as well.
You're that as well.
Yeah, I'm not saying with an S.
It's us against the coast this morning.
Well.
Well, what's the official answer, mate?
I will tell you the official answer. And the answer to the question of whether or not you're supposed to say daylight savings time or daylight saving time is you're meant to say daylight saving time.
That's huge.
It's massive. And often people will misspell and missay it with the S, daylight savings.
That's
but
so
if you
bizarre.
Think about it and you say it slowly and think about it,
yeah.
You are saving daylight.
Time. So
you're not saving, you know, you're not having a savings account of daylight.
I'd love to do that, though.
But hey, look, we've all been guilty of it because I do it too.
Yep. Tickets to the movies. Girls' Night Out is doing A Star Is Born, the Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga film, Wednesday, the 17th of October at Hoyts. You can check out the tickets at hoyts.com.au. Alyssa in Point Claire, for your very dry delivery this morning, you've got the tickets. Congratulations.
That's great. Thank you very much.
It's Gordy and Ash Pollard, obviously. Yes. You learn something new every day, mate.
Let's go. Get up with Gordy and Ash Pollard. CFM.
There are calls this morning for Central Coast Council to be the latest organisation to come under the scrutiny of mystery shoppers.
And how do you do that?
So basically, Councillor Greg Best is going to be pushing tonight for services to be analysed to tighten up services for ratepayers.
So, people pretend to call.
Yeah, and they go,
as customers. Yeah.
G'day, I want to put in a development application because I want to build some land. And they'll be able to rate how their service was, finding out more about that, or if you call up to pay your water bill. Not that anyone
it's like mystery customers calling the council for services or whatever.
Exactly. He says it's not about a performance review for staff, but seeing how resources can be better used to improve the system, which I totally agree with. And there's always complaints around how council sometimes operates in that sphere. But this is really interesting, getting mystery shoppers involved in council stuff.
Can I tell you, I used to be a stylist for Cook Eye. You know Cook Eye, that chicks fashion brand?
K-O-O-K-I?
Yeah. So back in the day, in my mid-20s, I was your little fashion chick in Cook Eye.
Yeah.
And we had mystery shoppers that would come in and pretend to be customers. They were given some money or, you know, something to buy clothes. Yep. And they'd come in and mystery shop and then go and rate us and give their reviews so you're to our working, superiors.
You're working in like an actual shop front of Cook Eye where you would like people would walk in, go, I want to wear some nice stuff.
Yeah, like essentially I was a retail assistant, but in Cook Eye they call them stylists. It's so good.
So foxy.
It's one way to make you feel more important.
And how did you generally, like how many times do you reckon it happened to you?
Like every few months.
Right.
So they did them quite regularly because they were all about customer service and all that sort of stuff. Like you had to greet a customer within 30 seconds of them walking in the door but not actually ask them how they were, which I liked that rule.
Why?
Because I don't like to be asked how I am.
But you're okay to be like, hello. Isn't it just the natural second question that happens though? Hello, how are you?
No, but why would you ask somebody how they are if you don't really care?
Yeah, true.
And a lot of retail assistants ask that same thing just because that's what they do.
It's not like they genuinely.
And so Cook Eye's rule was that don't ask how they are, just greet them. So, and I thought, geez, that's cool. I like that.
It is nice.
So then, you know, we were always told, you know, it's mystery shopper time.
Yeah.
So we'd be on top of our game, you know, making sure all the clothes were folded, that we greeted every customer within 30 seconds of them entering, making sure that, you know, if you were tending to a customer, you would never allow them to walk around the shop holding clothing. You'd take it away from them straight away and put it in the change room.
Right.
I never got any bad rep from customers, but I definitely got bad rep from a boss. She thought that I gave way too much cheek.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you do that now.
No.
Do you ever call any of the customers poxy?
Get up with Gordy and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
7:03 on a Monday morning. It is Nick Kelly in for Gorney this morning. We believe he'll be back tomorrow from his illness.
I think he will. He can't stay away from me that long.
His mystery illness. I know, he must miss you by now.
Probably.
In like 10 days, mate.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Coming up next, we'll catch up with Dean McCarthy, all the latest in Scoopla. There is new music from Michael Jackson on the way.
Yes! I love Michael Jackson.
What is going on, man? We'll get to that next.
101.3 CFM Scoopla.
Good morning, Dean McCarthy.
We've got McCarthy's on the line.
Oh, g'day, guys. Good morning. Hello.
It's what we needed to kick a Monday morning into gear.
Love
ya. Hey, new music from Michael Jackson on the way?
Oh, I know. Let me tell you the lowdown. So the estate of Michael Jackson has just trademarked a new logo. So there's a new Michael Jackson logo with a little crown on the top. They've also licensed new merchandise, mugs, phone case covers, some clothing, and apparently some new music. So here's the thing, right? Michael Jackson recorded a lot of songs, a lot of verses, a lot of material before he passed away that's kind of in like a Michael Jackson vault. And apparently they are going to be releasing more music, things we've never heard before. I'm so excited. You know, I just can't wait to hear it. What have they been sitting on?
There was that song that came out with Drake a few months ago that had like a chorus that MJ had sung and Drake on the top, which I love.
Why? I wonder how that works. Like, does the musician buy it or like do they...
Do you have any idea, Dean, how that works?
No, they probably do. They definitely would have... The estate would make some type of, you know, royalty from it. But how do they actually tee it up? How do they hear it? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Who's in charge of the estate? Is that just the rest of his family?
Yes.
Constantly.
That's exactly right.
Still to this day making money out of Michael Jackson. Tragedy.
Oh, yeah. That family, they don't really talk to each other. You know, they're not in a good place. Like, none of them really talk to each other. No. It's not good. It's not good enough.
Bizarre. Speaking of families, Ben Affleck is going to be under watch when he spends time with his new kids, new kids, just the kids that existed in the first place. What's going on with Ben?
Yeah, no, you're right. You are right, though. It is a new custody deal. So as we know, the good news is Ben Affleck is in rehab, getting treatment. And, you know, Jennifer has been so supportive. She's the one that actually drove him there. Apparently, in new court documents, he will be supervised when he's with the children as part of the new custody deal. But it's sort of, it sounds really negative, but they're actually all working together on it. So Jennifer's a part of it. It's more about the fact that he is in rehab and dealing with his own demons, if you will. And that is why he has to be supervised when he's with them. But, you know, look, they're getting along great. And it's pretty awesome that he's there.
She seems like a really lovely person. I've started following her on Instagram and she's genuine. She's nice. I like her.
I like her as well. I'm with you. And I also like Cardi B. In case you're wondering.
Well, Jennifer Garner. Right? She actually bought him a burger on the way to rehab.
Burger and chips,
which I find beautiful. No. If I ever have to go to rehab, that's the way I want to go. With a burger in hand. Thank you, Dean McCarthy.
Yo, it's the dog of the week.
It's the one and only Tico Double G.
It's that time again. Thank you, Nick, for turning my microphone on. But we have Dee from the animal care facility on the line. Good morning, Dee.
Good morning.
Hey, you've got some exciting news for us. You text me over the weekend. Tell the peeps of the Sunny Coast.
Well, every CSM dog has been adopted over the week, including Flick.
Flick has been adopted.
Amazing. So for those who haven't heard, tell us who Flick is, Ash.
Oh, I think Dee will do a better job at that. But Flick pretty much lived her entire life in that facility and had trouble getting adopted because she liked to jump the fence a little bit.
So tell us about the beautiful people that have taken Flick in, Dee.
Look, it's a lovely couple. They came in and looked at Flick and sort of went away, thought about it, came back, decided that they really loved her and just kept coming and paying visits to her all the time. So they were actually moving to another place so that they could have a dog.
Wow.
And until they actually could move and settle in, they came to the facility on a regular basis to walk her and spend time with her.
Screw that bond. That's beautiful.
I love that. How good is that?
Congratulations, Dee.
Thank you. I mean, Flick was about 8 weeks off being with us for a year.
Wow.
That's intense. So who have we got this week?
Well, we've got a special case. It's three dogs, and we're hoping that the Central Coast can help us with this one. We've got Alice, Roxy, and T-Rex. We call him Rex. They are from a deceased estate. So, unfortunately, the police did a welfare check on a lady and found her deceased.
Oh.
And we have her three dogs.
Wow. So, are you looking for them to sort of be rehomed together or do you reckon they can kind of go separate ways?
Look, we asked the family what they wanted. We asked if the family could take them, and unfortunately, like a lot of families, they've got their own dogs, so they weren't able to take the dogs back in.
Mm-hmm.
Her sister and her mother did ask me whether or not it was possible that we could find a home for the three of them together because they are so bonded. Now, we did separate them. We put the two little Shih Tzus together and we put the Kelpie Cross Labrador by himself. And we just sort of went to see how they cope. And then we put them all back together in our exercise run and they are so happy together. So it is the right thing to do to try and find them a home together. We sort of acknowledge that, you know, they're an unusual mix, but they are happy together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think through everything that they've been through, this is the least we can do for them, is to find them a home together. They're all beautiful and loving dogs, very friendly. I know there was some talk about maybe they'd be emotionally scarred. Honestly, they're not. They're so happy. You walk up to their enclosure, they're so happy to see you.
That's beautiful.
Bless. Okay, good. We've got three dogs that need adoption, and some amazing news today that all of the CFM dogs thus far for Dog of the Week have been adopted. So that is amazing that we have managed to do that.
Exceptional news. You can check out the Dog of the Week for this week, or the three Dogs of the Week for this week, on the CFM Facebook page. Let's try and find Alex, Roxy and Rex a home. Thank you very much, T. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
7:33 on a showery Monday morning around the Central Coast. Going to remain that way for the rest of the day. Might warm up a bit tomorrow, but then back to more rain. Could it rain anymore?
Look, we need it.
We do. Our poor farmers.
But just be careful on those roads.
Absolutely. Already a couple of accidents this morning. We'll keep you up to date if any more pop up. Hey, this week is National Mental Health Week, which is a very important week, and a very important week to start conversations and break down stigma. And a great group doing that at the moment is Headspace. Everyone's heard of Headspace. They do an amazing job providing mental health services for young people.
Yep.
They particularly specialise in the 12 to 25 area. And I'm going to have the CEO on the phone next to talk about the importance of National Mental Health Week and looking after yourself in the old noggin.
I love that word, the it's noggin.
Nice way to put it.
Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
This week is National Mental Health Week. A very important week to start very important conversations around mental health. Now, I've shared with you plenty of times that I've got some pretty significant mental health issues on a regular basis.
I just shared mine with you.
Yeah, and I was really proud of you for doing that as well. And I really enjoy that we're getting to the point where
everybody's got an issue.
Exactly. I won't play a little issues song there.
No, because that would just be making a mockery of it, wouldn't it? No, but everybody does. Everybody does have something that's going on upstairs.
Absolutely.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, people are often really embarrassed about not being okay, and we need to help people realise that it's okay to not be okay.
I'm really passionate about making sure that I verbalise the way I feel from a mental health perspective the same way as I would if I was having a cold or
a
flu.
I get more and more passionate about this because I feel like as I get older as well, I come across more and more hurdles in life, and and I use the same sort of steps to move through difficult times, but sometimes, and more recently, those steps aren't working for me.
Yep.
So seeking professional help, it has been a real amazing sort of step for me to take, I think, and that guidance is not something to be shameful of at all. Like, there's a really bad stigma in getting help if you've got an issue.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you should be really proud of yourself for taking the step if you do.
Absolutely. It can be hard to take that, though. One incredible group who have for a very long time provided great mental health services for particularly 12 to 25-year-olds. They focus on mental health, physical health, work and study support, and alcohol and other drug services is Headspace. You can't not have heard of Headspace by now. They do amazing work in the mental health sector. And the CEO is Jason Trethowen that joins us this morning. Morning, Jason.
G'day, Nick. Ash, how you doing?
Great, Jase. Tell us a little bit about Mental Health Week.
Yeah, look, Mental Health Week is obviously a big one to put the light on mental health, and along the lines of the conversations you've just been having, actually. It was really good to listen to, and that there is no shame in talking about mental health. There is no shame in seeking help, just as we would for physical health. Well, this week, Headspace has reported on something on a more serious scale around the very high levels of psychological distress amongst young Australians. So 10 years ago, 9% rated their psychological distress high to very high. That has now tripled in the last 10 years.
That, I mean, that's amazing. And why would you say that it is? What's the cause?
Well, look, I guess there is a lot more now pressures on young people. There is obviously reasons around, sleep patterns, perhaps being less active, and also nutrition levels not as high as perhaps it was 10 years ago. Look, some of this will have to do with the onset of technology, of which has many, many benefits. It has many benefits in actually how to, promoting help-seeking behaviours and also getting online supports. But we do know there's increased pressure on body image and self-esteem-related matters in the context of social media as well. I think work and study, guys, work and study is a big thing for young people today too.
I honestly am a firm believer that social media is amazing, but it's also quite destructive. I was scrolling through socials this morning when I woke up, and I follow some young kids because they're family friends, and they're about 14 years old, and they're posting pictures similar to what you'd see on Kim Kardashian's profile. Like, stuff that I would never have done at that age. And now you're seeing young teenagers posting provocative images, or, images that have been face-tuned quite extensively. I don't understand. Like, it's actually, it's sad and it's quite worrying. And I kind of feel like, why are you doing that? Go outside, play, get involved, go to the movies with friends. But they're face tuning and posting all these crazy pics, and that can't be right for your head. It just can't.
Yeah, look, that's one of the reasons why Headspace this week are promoting 7 healthy Headspace tips. And one of them is actually, it's sort of phrased by young people as swapping snaps for chats. That is, get away from the snaps. Go and have a chat to mates, family, and friends. Make a conscious effort to do so, because you're going to feel a lot better by actually connecting with people. And we know that social connections for young people are so very important, particularly when they are experiencing mental health issues. Just like you were talking about before, that you've got someone that you can be confident to go to and actually talk to them about how you're feeling.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask, because I'm seeing here that the rates of distress are significantly higher amongst young women, 38% compared to 26% of young men, which makes sense from that social media side. But I wanted to know, and this was something I was very passionate about in my late schooling years, do you think that the HSC and the pressures on school actually contribute to this? Because we're coming up to HSC period at the moment, and I spoke at my old high school a couple of weeks ago, and the anguish in people's faces as they were leaving school for the final time before the HSC was really quite worrying to watch. Do you think those kinds of exams and the pressure that school places on has something to do with those levels of distress as well?
Yeah, Nick, I think you're spot on. It does. I mean, obviously there's no single one issue, that we can sort of label it as, but there's no doubt young people are saying that the pressures of school and achievements are impacting on their mental health. But also, what was particularly concerning about our new research that we released yesterday was around the 18 to 21-year-olds. So these are the ones who have just finished school and moving out into that unknown world of university, TAFE, or work, or perhaps neither. And they were 38% of those in that age bracket rated their psychological distress high to very high.
Man.
Okay, so that's something to do with around transitioning from school into tertiary settings or workforce, moving out of home, particularly for the rural guys, moving to the city for the first time. That's a big challenge. I know I went through that. It was pretty hard going, into the city. And you think, okay, well, who's going to cook, clean, and I have to pay the bills? And the university is not such a, it doesn't give the same connection or levels of support around your mental health and wellbeing as perhaps secondary schools do. So there's lots going on, and also lots of things going on with relationships, with family as well.
Now, just tell us, how can anybody that's seeking help or somebody to talk to, what can you guys do for anybody that's looking for some sort of guidance?
Yeah, look, the best thing to do would be to go to headspace.org.au, and if you just put in the /tips, so headspace.org.au/tips, you'll see the 7 healthy Headspace tips. So this is not just about, let's talk about mental health, let's raise awareness. We're actually now saying, here's some positive action that you can take around sleep, eating well, getting into life and doing the stuff that you really enjoy, staying active or getting active, those connections with family and friends, learning ways to handle the tough times, and also cutting back on alcohol and drugs. as this is not going to help you, you know, obviously, in the long run.
Can I say what I actually have found out, if you're wanting to get some help externally, is that you can go to your local GP and ask to be put on a mental health care plan, which enables you to get a number of psych appointments or counselling appointments, which are subsidised by the government.
It's amazing. I think it's 8 to 10, is it, Jason?
Yeah, it's up to 10, and that's true. You can go to your local GP, and in terms of seeking professional help, certainly going to a GP is the way to go, having a conversation with them. Look, GPs refer to Headspace a lot for the counselling and for other issues that are impacting on the young person's mental health and wellbeing. It is actually a Medicare-subsidised patient rebate for you to go get access to a mental health clinician. What we're finding, though, at the moment, is that there is a really big maldistribution of where the counsellors and mental health clinicians are based. So obviously the more rural and regional you go, the less likely you are to get that timely access. But when you do get it, and you do get someone who connects with you, it's an amazing experience to be able to share how you're feeling with a professional, and they can give you those tips, they can give you those strategies so that you can cope later in life if indeed those feelings of, say, anxiety or depression start to re-emerge again.
Absolutely. Tremendous work that Headspace does. I've accessed Headspace services so many times, been to the building in Gosford as well, in the Gateway Centre. You guys do incredible work. Jason, thanks so much for joining us on Mental Health Week.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Ash.
Get up with Gaunty and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
When you want to talk sport, you go to Ash Pollard.
And you go to Nick Kelly.
Oh, dear. Oh, what have we brought ourselves into?
Look, we've got on the board UFC violence. Because we wanted to talk about that fight between that guy and the other guy.
So,
Conan McGregor and Khabib. Oh. Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov. What? Nurmagomedov.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. So they were in the UFC yesterday, which is the boxing thing.
They were in that cage.
People go mad for this thing.
I hate it.
Every pub
on the
Central Coast.
What is the point of punching someone in the face?
Every pub on the Central Coast today, people lining them, watching and cheering along as two blokes whacked the crap out of one another with boxing gloves on. But it was what happened at the end of the fight. The fight itself wasn't too tremendous. Conor McGregor was defeated by Khabib.
He tapped out because Nurmagomedov was strangling him or something, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was getting pretty intense. But then what happened afterwards is Khabib heard something in the crowd, heard something from one of Conor McGregor's team people,
a
snide comment of sorts, and runs out of the ring,
but
jumps over the fence.
He doesn't run out of the ring. He jumps over the fence and then pretty much jumps out and bashes... having a fight with McGregor's peeps.
And then all the peeps rush into him.
One of Khabib's dudes then jumps in the ring and takes on McGregor, like just punches him from the back.
Yeah.
What the hell?
So cooked. And then all you see is like the camera, there's no commentating going on at this point. All you see is the cameras start to slowly zoom out and you can like, you just see them taking away from it and then it just cuts to black. Let's go to Michael in Glenning Valley who has a take on who was at fault in this, who
Please,
might know
Michael,
more than
light.
We do. Hi, Michael.
Hi, guys. How are we?
Good, mate.
Good. Help.
So, in my opinion, the people that you have to blame in this is actually the UFC because they allowed Conor McGregor to hype the fight up, say what he wanted, do what he wanted, which included insult Khabib's family and religion, and as well as throw stuff through a bus window a couple of months before.
Well, is that what he did? He threw. I saw that.
That's
so,
the chair thing,
did he
right?
smash the? Khabib's bus window or something with a chair.
Yeah, and there were other fighters on that bus who now have life-threatening, like career-ending injuries, like glass in the eye. So
what?
Ray Ball will never fight again, they reckon.
Oh.
All because the UFC let Conor do what he wanted so they could hype the fight up, and then tensions blew over, and of course people's emotions are going to get the best of them when they insult their family and their religion.
I'll tell you what this is a sport with a bunch of numbskulls partaking. I mean, no wonder none of them have got any brains because they bash it out of each other constantly.
I mean, Michael, you're obviously a UFC fan. What is the appeal of the sport to you?
The appeal is that you've got more than one one sort of object to use and to beat, rather than just boxing where you can only use your fist. You have elbows, you have submissions, you have like wrestling that you have to try and get past as well.
Right, so you can just like literally go hell for leather on these blokes.
Everything except biting, headbutting and squirrel grip.
Can you knee someone in the box and dice?
No. Oh, well, you can knee someone in the head, but not as long as they're on the ground. As long as they're not on the ground, you can knee someone in the head.
Wow.
Oh, that's heckers.
You knee that high.
Trying to work out how you get your knee that high. Michael from Glenning Valley, thank you very much for giving us a call this morning.
Thanks, Mike, honestly. God.
If it wasn't for you,
I don't know how this segment would have gone, to be honest.
We'll go with tickets to Poles Climbing, the Central Coast Heart of Indoor Climbing. Our semi-official UFC reporter, Michael, thanks for joining us.
Harvey Norman, quiet at home in every room of the house. CFM.
Time to hook you up with an instant $1,000 just in time for the fresh working week. Kylie and Wungara, you feeling confident, mates?
I'm very confident, thank you.
Ooh, confidence is key because this morning your letter is H.
Okay.
Do
you say H or H, Kylie?
H?
Yeah, I say H as well. But you're an H, are you, Ash Pollard?
I'm an H.
There you go. Mm. All right, let's get you some cash. 30 seconds on the clock. Time starts at the end of Ash's first question, which is...
Question number one is, name something in a fridge.
Horseradish.
Something you plug in.
A hose.
A famous actor.
Hugh Grant.
Something you see at the zoo.
Sorry?
Something you see at the zoo.
Hippo.
Halloween costume.
Pass.
A language.
Fuck.
A song title.
Hip Hip Hooray.
Something people are afraid of.
Oh. That's so much harder than what you think.
Totally. Halloween costume, you better start thinking about these. Hercules, Hulk or Harry Potter could have been done. And for a language, Hindi, Hungarian, Hebrew. So not the $1,000 this morning. But for our school holiday hookup, we're going to hook you up with tickets to Luna Park, Sydney.
Oh, wow, thank you. That's awesome.
Family pass to get in. It's going to be absolutely amazing at Luna Park these school holidays. They're running an in-park competition until the 15th of October. If you go into the park, take your photos, pop them up with the hashtag LunaParkLove, you can win unlimited rides passes and annual passes so you can keep going back. Congratulations.
Good on you, Kyles.
Thanks very much, guys.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard, CFM.
It's a tough gig buying a house, isn't it, Nick Kelly?
I wouldn't know because I don't own one.
Well... Renting is a common thing these days, and I believe that it is getting harder and harder to purchase a house. Mm-hmm. It's not relative anymore.
Have you ever owned a house or owned any property?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I own other things, not property. But in saying that, I mean, to me, it's never really been of interest to me. But it is now.
Yeah.
It's becoming more and more appealing to me to invest in property. Previously, and still, I have invested in shares and all that sort of stuff.
Right, okay.
But recently, a bloke at the ripe old age of 74 has become the oldest person to buy their first home in Australia.
I love this. Look at old mate. Just the front of this article, just this bloke in his...
Anthony Price, bless him.
Just standing on the letterbox with his bloody checkered shirt on. Just loves
God,
it.
God, he's gorgeous.
Loving life.
He was knocked back from multiple times for mortgages and whatnot. And he was a former Sydney sider, but finally has been rewarded for his persistence and bought his first home.
Bought it just north of Dubbo.
Yes.
So gone out bush for this
one.
So
the factor of the whole thing with this bloke is that he wasn't particular with where he bought his home.
Yeah.
He also had quite a large sum of money saved up for his deposit.
Yeah.
But the reason why he was getting knocked back for so many years was because he was old.
Right.
So the older you get, the more difficult it is to get a loan from the bank because you're going to die pretty much.
So old mate's waited till he's, you know, very, very old and hit the peak of his
life. But also he has more money to give to the bank.
True.
For that safety net. Whereas, you know, if you don't have a great deal of money for your deposit, then you're less likely, the older you get, to get to have some money from the bank.
I have this conversation with my friends quite regularly because, you know, I'm 23 and my friends are all roughly around my age. And we look at the property market now, which is at the most ridiculous prices it's ever been. And we're like, there's not even a point in trying to save up for a house. It just doesn't seem achievable. Therefore, it's not on a priority list for me and my friends. Our priorities are working hard and buying other stuff. Not houses, though, because it just seems so unnecessary to spend that cash.
Well, if you think about it, like, the world is ever-changing, as are the markets. You just don't know. You can't really predict when the markets are going to change. So it is a possibility. Yeah. You just can't see it.
Do you? When do you kind of aim to own a home by? Do you have a date in mind? Do you have a time frame?
I don't have a date in mind.
You just
I probably
know that you
should. But no.
75.
Well, no. I know that I want to because for me, renting isn't something that appeals to me, especially when I have children.
Right.
I don't want that pressure.
Yeah.
I don't. You know, I'd rather pay a mortgage off. Because essentially the money that I pay in rent right now could go towards a mortgage.
Yeah, gotcha.
But for me, like, I'm in a position now where I can continue renting until I have a family in my sight.
See, I'm going to put it out there on 13, 12, 16 this morning. I reckon there is a lot of coasties who have no plans to ever own a home. And
that's totally, like, legit as well. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's so much pressure on society these days that I felt like when I was younger as well, like, you were successful if you owned a home.
Exactly. It was the whole Australian dream thing.
Yeah, and I don't believe that is necessarily true.
Got some tickets to Pulse Climbing and also to Erin or Ice Arena to give away for your time on 13, 12, 16 this morning. Are you a coastie that never wants to buy a home? I think there's going to be some people out there. 13, 12, 16, give us a call.
Let's go. Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. CFM.
Is renting a thing? Like, is it? Well, we're talking about the oldest bloke that's finally just bought a house. He's 74 years old.
Yep.
A New South Wales man.
Yep.
And he has been renting all of his life because he really hasn't had the money or the bank really hasn't approved him for a loan because he's so old.
And he's just become the oldest person to buy property. He bought a house just north of Dubbo, so he's gone out bush, mates.
Gone out bush. And I understand renting and I think it's great, but for me now moving into the future, I will be looking at buying property because to me renting is stressful when you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. But on the other hand, renting can be the bee's knees.
For some people's situations, like my situation at the moment, kids aren't even remotely on the horizon. Yeah. I'm open to moving around the country for work. I've lived in a couple of different places now. But obviously the Central Coast is home. I'm born here and I live here now. I have no problem with never buying a house at the moment. Unless I was worth like $20 million and I had that expendable income, I don't want a mortgage though. I don't want an unnecessary expense like a mortgage on a house that I may not even live in for the rest of my life. That's my vibe on it. So we opened up the phones on 13, 12, 16 this morning to see, are you all right never buying a home? Let's go to Dylan in Woi Woi. Good morning, mate.
G'day, buddy. How are we?
Great. What do you reckon? Are you okay never buying a house?
Oh, I'd love to buy a house one day. That's the dream, but it's just too expensive to buy a house these days.
Yeah. This is the thing. Like, it's stressful thinking about the amount of money you've got to save just for the deposit.
Have you looked into it, Dylan? Have you looked into the kinds of costs you'd be up for buying a house?
Yes, I have. I've looked at it. But if you weigh up the options, it's about the same amount of money as what you'd spend if you were to be renting.
Well, that's right. That's my argument.
Yeah.
But I also believe that owning a house doesn't define your success because often, you know, well, you know, back in the day when I was at school, my parents or other people would be like, you know, you need to start saving for a home. And all of my friends bought a home and then started families.
Right.
And I was the only one that was just investing my money in shares and serial dating blokes. And they were all just, you know, laying down the family foundations. And I was like, yeah. Just in surfer's paradise.
Living the best Pollard life.
Yeah.
Lisa's in Greenpoint. Lisa, what do you reckon? Are you happy never buying a place?
Yeah, I think I've come to the conclusion that I am happy never buying a place.
Is that a choice that you've made or you're in a situation where you can't afford?
Well, we were in a situation where we could afford, but then I became ill, and all that money was spent on my treatments and everything. But I kind of thought, well, you know, owning a home, when you think about it, you're kind of paying a mortgage and you're renting as well, because you've got to pay, you know, your rates and your water, any upkeep on the property. I just think renting, and people call it dead money when you rent, but, you know, that dead money allows you to live a life that you wouldn't really be able to live when you have a mortgage.
Yeah. Well, there's no right or wrong, you know, it's all personal opinion. I definitely think paying a mortgage and the rates and all that sort of stuff, blah, 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 you know, you're going to have, that's going to be your place in the end.
Absolutely. But like the great thing at the moment about renting,
it's almost like a nest egg for your future children.
True. The best thing about renting though is getting to just call up the real estate and go, oi, fix me water. And it's just done. Whereas I don't want to have to call some dude and pay like $300 for him to climb under and show me his plumber's crack.
Oh, God, please.
That's
Lisa, a first world problem.
Thanks for your call this morning, mate. We'll send you to Erina Ice Arena. You can take the family to Erina Ice Arena these school holidays. Check out erinaicearena.com.au. Enjoy that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Get up with Gawndy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
Big news last week. If you're looking forward to going to the beach this summer but you don't want to get eaten by a shark, they are going to be trialling drones at Voka Beach to spot sharks. And to tell us more about it, Chris Parker, the CEO of Surf Life Saving Central Coast, on the phone. Morning, mate.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Sensation. Tell us a little bit about this trial.
Yeah, well, drones are a bit of an extension of our life-saving services that we've been trialling for the last couple of years. With a partnership with the New South Wales DPI, from the 1st of November on weekends, there will be a drone in the sky. Obviously, the main purpose is to protect the community against any shark threat, but also for research purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the Christmas school holidays, it'll be 7 days a week.
Amazing.
Wow.
That's really amazing.
That's
news.
Awesome.
Why was Avoca chosen of all the beaches on the Central Coast to grab this trial?
Well, Avoca is one of the busiest beaches on the Central Coast, but also there have been some minor incidents and some shark activity in recent years. Nothing that we should be too concerned of compared to what we've experienced in other areas in the state, such as the far north coast. But it is a very good site to trial this technology, and as well as keeping an eye out for sharks and protecting the community in that way, it will also be used to, look at other risks, any rips, any people swimming outside of that sort of traditional patrolled area.
So it has many benefits. Many benefits, not just the shark watch benefit. I mean, you can look out for rips and all that sort of stuff. I love this idea.
It's great.
I think it's brilliant because I'm not a fan of the shark culling that's going on at the moment. I think this is much better, much more appropriate for nature. And we're definitely going to be one step ahead of the sharks, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it's a great new asset. And, the visual that you get from the sky is unbelievable.
I'm a former surf lifesaver. I've got my bronze medallion, used to patrol at Terrigal with my mum, who is heavily involved in Terrigal Surf Club.
Cool.
I've actually gotten to sound the shark alarm before, which was both exciting and absolutely frightening. It's a very, very loud alarm. Obviously, how are we going to know sort of who's monitoring these drones as they're up in the sky? Is it the lifesavers on the beach or is it a control centre? Who's going to know whether there's a shark in the water?
Yeah, both. We've got an extra asset, I guess, extra person designated to be flying the drone. So they're going to have visual from the patrol tent. They'll also have visual from a state operations centre in Sydney.
Yep.
And if they do spot something, they've got a PA system built into the drone. So they're going to be able to warn people there and then.
Whoa.
They won't close the beach every time they spot one, but it does because at times if it's not a threat, they'll just be able to follow it and make sure it clears the area.
So there's like a speaker in the drone where they can go, get out, there's a shark right next to you or something.
Yeah, speaker in the zone, and if they, you know, are in the middle of the beach and spot someone in a rip in trouble, there's a flotation device that it drops as well. So,
oh, stop.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, it's definitely a very exciting prospect, and within 3 to 5 years, I suspect there'll be one on every beach.
This is when I love technology. Like, I could sometimes chuck my laptop against the wall, but this drone scenario with a little speaker and dropping the life jacket.
It's amazing.
Love it.
Can it bring lifesavers lunch, like some hot chips from the Surf Club Cafe?
probably could.
We'll train them to do that. Just quickly as well, Chris, I believe you can still get involved with patrolling this summer, doing your bronze medallion. I know it's a great way to spend summer looking after the Central Coast beaches and just getting, you know, essentially allowed to sit in the lifeguard, the lifesaver's tent for a little while. It's a fun way to spend the summer, right?
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Nick. Look, we're always on the lookout for new members. At the moment, our clubs are going through a bit of a recruitment stage. The Sunday Nippers program, some of the clubs started this weekend and the rest of them will start next weekend. So the perfect time for parents to get their kids in nippers, but also there's a place for everyone and we'd love you to get involved in surf lifesaving.
It's great, mate. Surf clubs are a great thing. I'm really proud to be involved with Terrigal over the years. Thank you very much for joining us, Chris Parker.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Ash.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
Gaundy and Ash Pollard from Monday morning, done and dusted with Nick Kelly in for Gaundy. Gaundy looking set to make a triumphant return to the radio tomorrow.
Oh, bless him.
Poor bloke. Hope you have yourselves a good day. Stay safe on the roads as you head off to work this morning because it is very slippery around there. Mm-hmm. Driving up the M1 last night, getting in that third lane, there was so much water on the road.
The inside lane?
Yeah.
The overtaking lane?
Yeah. I just kept pushing water up into my face trying to drive at the speed limit. It was horrendous.
Yeah, it's heckers. Be careful.
Be careful, kids.
Safety first.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.